Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete, how are you?
Great, Chris. How you doing?
I'm great. It's good to hear from you, and it's good to get your insight. Yanks lineup is out. They just changed Torres and Gardner in the lineup from 3-6. Other than that, everything's pretty much the way we expected it would be, and it's finally time to start the engine, huh?
Yeah, really. I mean, going back even to spring training, early part of this year, you kind of expected, anticipated or even hoped in some instances that, that this American League season would come down to these two teams and then the way the Astros played at home, go through Houston at some point. So here we are getting ready for a game one and, I think you could anticipate, possibly being a long season and coming down to another 6-7 here at Minute Maid Park.
How much do you think the public and the general fan, especially in New York, is colored or influenced by what happened in 2017 between these two teams?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of the narrative here. And, the Astros have, they've played so well at home. They've pitched so well. I mean, that was part of the narrative in 17, how when the Yankees came back here in 6 and 7, they couldn't get past the dominant starting pitching of this Astros team. And now you put in a Garrett Cole here. You add a Zach Greinke. You subtracted Charlie Morton. You still got Verlander. That's all part of this, interesting narrative of this 2019 ALCS, but you've also got a Yankee team that's a little deeper, a little better, a little more experienced, a little more confident, and still as hungry as they were 2 years ago, if not more so now, because they've had two playoff teams that didn't get to where they wanted to be at the end. I mean, they were an upstart in 17. They were taken out in the first round by the Red Sox last year, and what was in a lot of respects, as close a four-game division series as you could play right down to the end. And now they've got a team that they expected would be playing for a pennant when they broke spring training and didn't do anything during the season other than overcome injury and adversity to get to where they are right now. So it's a real intriguing matchup.
I don't know how much, I think we overdo what happened in 2017 and people think, it might well happen again, and, this is awful that they didn't get home field. And I understand all that. I just don't think baseball is as predictable as a lot of fans want it to be, and that, that these guys are all human, both on the Yankee side and on the Cole, Verlander, Greinke side, that they're capable of having bad games. I think the narrative right now seems to be they're not, that the Yankees are going to be behind every night in the seventh inning, and these guys are going to grind it out and make it very tough on them. I do think, and Pete, I'd like your opinion. I mean, the Yankees need to hang in and realize that if their advantage is the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning pitching wise, that they might well be down 3-1 in the sixth, and they can't panic.
No, they've got a deep lineup. And, as you said, right. I mean, none of this is scripted. Anything can happen. You saw what happened to the Atlanta Braves. But the advantage here, obviously, it is plain, and it's hard to overcome in the black and white of it, how well the Astros have played here. And they do have the advantage of the extra game, and they're already 3-0 in this postseason at home. They won 61 games, here in Houston during the regular season. The last time that these two teams got together in the postseason, the ALCS in 17, the home team won every game. So, I mean, that is something to overcome. But yes, you could throw a clunker in there. I mean, Greinke had one his last start. Verlander didn't do very well coming out of the
three-day rest.
On 3 days rest there. So, but the Astros do have it lined up where they, you know, they've got all their guys on regular rest. So do the Yankees. But certainly that starting pitching edge belongs to the Houston Astros. But the Yankee strength has been their bullpen, and yeah, you're going to see an aggressive. That's why I think they took the 13th pitcher. You're going to see an aggressive use of the Yankees bullpen in the postseason.
Do you think that the home plate umpire is important to Tanaka tonight? I look at Tanaka, who nibbles a lot and gets a lot of strikes swinging that end up not being strikes if they had laid off, and I'm thinking Houston's going to try to lay off and see whether he can get called strikes early in this game, and I wonder if you're looking at that as a factor, as I am.
I think that's very accurate because, you know, if he's got to use the fastball in predictable counts, you know, that could equal home runs, and we've seen that script before. Right, all important to get ahead, stay ahead, have the splitter working for him, have the slider working for him, so you stay out of predictable counts with the fastball and run into the possibility of getting beat with a home run. And yes, we've seen that before. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, I'll be watching for that early in this game because I think they'll lay off and see if those pitchers are going to be called strikes or not, because he certainly likes to nibble. We know he doesn't throw as many fastballs as most starting pitchers, and you know, just be interesting to watch that dynamic play out. What did you think of the decisions regarding Hicks, Voit, Wade, and Sabathia?
Well, I mean, initially, when we heard the reports coming out of Florida that you know, that Hicks was ready to go here, I mean, that you know, that sort of came out of left field from, you know, what we'd been led to believe up you know, until we, you know, really talked to Hicks about that and how, you know, he basically threw caution to the wind at home in Arizona, and you know, started throwing on his own, felt good, started hitting in Florida, everything felt good, and I think once he became a healthy option, it was sort of a no-brainer to put him on this roster as a elite defender in the outfield and as a switch hitter that gives you, you know, more flexibility, more options for Aaron Boone to either off the bench or as a starter, you know, so that then became predictable, it seemed like, in the last few days, that he'd be added to this roster. Cece Sabathia, again, I think, you know, he would have been on this roster in the ALDS were it not for the shoulder issue that he developed. But if he's healthy and ready to go now, you know, he gives you an experienced hand, but he's going to be, you know, one that's in a different role coming out of the bullpen. And, you know, I don't anticipate Boone is expecting him to give him any length. So he could be used for, you know, a few batters or even to just come in and face one tough lefty. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it's a tough luck situation for Luke Voit, you know, for, you know, how well he played, you know, until he really developed that sports hernia, you know, in the second half of the season, and then really, you know, had a rough September. And now with a healthy Edwin Encarnacion, who they say can play first base, you know, Voit didn't play in the ALDS, neither did Tyler Wade, and they're both off this roster to accommodate Hicks and the extra pitcher.
Pete Caldera of The Record joining us. Chris Moore with you on The Fan in New York as we preview Yankees, who will be coming up in just about 2 hours and 15 minutes with the pregame show, John and Susan from Minute Maid Park. As you look at this, Pete, and I know you've had a chance to kick it around with your brethren, your writers, your colleagues, and everybody's got an opinion. It's one of the parts that makes it fun. Who do you look at as keys in this series, and what are you watching for? I told you I was looking for Tanaka's strike zone and how they approach Tanaka, and whether, you know, it's one of the things I'm looking at for sure. What are you looking at?
You know, I want to see how this Yankees lineup can potentially wear down the Houston starters. Now, we've seen the Yankees do that all season, but now, you know, that we're into October, you've got an elite starting pitching staff here, in this spotlight, you know, can the Yankees do what they've done against, you know, regular starting pitching? Can they wear them down? Can they make them throw a lot of pitches? Can they draw some walks? Can they get some traffic on the bases, even against you know, these elite starters, and make Houston use its bullpen earlier than they want to? I think that's one thing I'd be looking for. You know, and the other thing I think is you know, to see how these you know, some of these guys, you know, that are in their, you know, really first, you know, pennant, you know, playoff here. You know, a lot of these, some of these guys have not been in an ALCS, how they perform. You've already seen Gleyber Torres, perform at a very high level in that last series. DJ LeMahieu, guys like that. But this is their first ALCS, and Yankees are going to need more than the usual heroes here. The Judges and the DDs and guys who've done it before in a big moment to contribute to them getting to where they want to be.
And you would also think, I would imagine you agree, that either Stanton or Sanchez, certainly not both, but one of them has got to contribute in some way. To have them both be dead spots in the lineup would make it that much tougher for the Yankees, I think, given what they have, given Urshela's lack of experience. You don't know what you're going to get there. I just feel like, somebody's got to emerge and get some big hits for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, right? Stanton has never played in an elite championship series before. Sanchez had a very quiet ALDS.
Yes.
He's improved defensively. I think that's shown itself in some big moments here. And that's been part of the improvement he's made this year. But, yes, they're going to rely on him more offensively. But now that you have Hicks in the dynamic, I mean, that could affect Stanton. That could affect Urshela. You could move LeMahieu to third base, start Encarnacion at first if you want. Put Hicks out in center, move Gardner to left, and have Urshela sit for a game if he's not hitting. So they do have a little more flexibility, I think, offensively with Hicks on this roster.
Yeah, I agree. I think Hicks was certainly a good decision for them, and it makes them a better team. And as you say, I feel bad for Voit. I think the Yankee players probably do too, but he got cold at the wrong time. He got injured at the wrong time. And sometimes fate steps in and kind of slaps you a little bit. And, for some people it's lucky. For some people it's the other way. And for Voit, it seems like it was the other way. From the pitching staff side, how surprised are you that Houston's going with all right-handers?
Well, I mean, this is, I think you got to go with your strengths, and that's certainly their strength. And, the Yankees have a lot of right-handed hitters on their team. I mean, going back to Hicks, at least he gives you a left-handed option off the bench or in the lineup if you so use him that way. So not really surprised there, but, I think the essential, when it comes down to the essential strengths of the pitchers, it's Houston's starting staff and the Yankees bullpen is what you're really looking at as the strengths on both of these teams pitching wise, and it'll be very interesting to see how that dynamic develops, how early the Yankees go to their pen, and how deep the Astros can stay with their starters.
Are you pretty much previewed out at this point? Let's play. I know I am. I know I am. I mean, I can't. Yeah. I can't take it anymore. Really. I mean, I'm interested, but I'm Bart Scott can't wait at this point. Let's go. Throw the first pitch and let's see what happens. And I don't think the Yankees will be intimidated. I understand why they're underdogs. I don't want them to cower. I don't want them to be nervous. I want them to think that they're every bit as good as Houston, even if maybe they're not quite as good as Houston. I want them to act as if they are and act as if they expect to win. I want to see a little swagger from them, and I'm looking forward to seeing if they can pull that off and how Aaron does. I said earlier on the show, and I imagine you agree, Aaron's going to get some criticism because when you change pitchers this many times, it's not going to work out every time. It's just not, and they're going to change pitchers a lot.
No, you're right. I mean, even in the first game of the ALDS when they brought Canley in as early as they did, in a spot you wondered, right, if this backfires here, I mean, it could spin the series in a different direction, or at least that game in a different direction. So yeah, you're right. We're gonna micromanage games, and we're gonna microanalyze moves. But at the end, I mean, they're telegraphing you how they're gonna approach the series, and the last series is an indication that the Yankees are going to aggressively use this bullpen and use the off days to get them healthier and get them rested to bring them back again for the next game. where they could run into some trouble is when you've got those three, four, and five in a row. And, you know, if you get to a pivotal game five, you know, you're going to hope you got a rested and ready bullpen at that point. But you may have to use a lot of those guys to get you through three and four. So that part's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, and one of the reasons they went with 13 pitchers for sure. Well, you've got a few more press conferences to get to. We'll let you go. Thanks, Pete. Enjoy the game tonight and tomorrow night. And we'll talk again next week. Thanks.
Anytime, Chris. Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.